All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, that my brother in the practice of law, Stan McDonald, is indeed the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way. Stan McDonald, 30-year veteran in the practice of law, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee in Huntsville, and oh, by the way, longtime conservative, daily sponsor of the Right Side Way, and I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a few more minutes. All right, so it is hard to believe, y'all, but think about this. We're coming up on the end of October. First week of November, guess what? It's the one-year anniversary of the most consequential election in modern history. November of 2024, last year, nearly exactly a year from now, was a life-changing, landscape-altering, world-shaking rocket launch of electoral domination, the likes of which the modern world had not seen in decades. But just 2 years before that, on November 8th of 2022, we had the midterm elections, and the results were resoundingly tepid for Republicans. Republicans were beaten down, beleaguered, and apathetic. We were led by Mitch McConnell, whose response was, "Well, I never promised you a Senate majority." Well, you didn't promise us anything, sir, and we got nothing for it. We had been bamboozled as a party, browbeaten in the wake of COVID, BLM riots, January 6th accusations, and our own weak leadership. And yeah, we had weak leadership on our side that did nothing much worthwhile when it came to trying to seize ground and take our country back. The 2022 midterms, they were a watershed moment of political mediocrity. But last year was different. Last year we turned out. Last year, with real leadership and a renewed sense of purpose, we took our country back. And we did it with a whole new team and a fresh set of eyes. We finally had an election day to celebrate. Like, finally. And this past weekend, the left wing of society, they gathered up for their mass group therapy sessions and what they called their No Kings rallies. What it basically boiled down to was a large gathering here and there of aging hippies, socialists, and pink-haired nose rings. It was all of the desperate anti-Trump sentiment saved up for one special day when they could don their best black face masks and put on inflatable dinosaur suits and paint rainbows on their faces and go hit the town for a wild time of groupthink and despair. I mean, does anybody see the irony in the fact that the left calls this a No Kings rally because allegedly they don't trust Trump's administration to cancel out their vote, and yet their party is the one that ditched a duly elected primary candidate, Biden, and replaced him with a So how do you do with Harris? I mean, we had no votes putting her in that position. And they're the ones calling for no kings. I don't understand Democrats. I mean, I do, but I don't. I get that there will be ideological divergence in society. I get that. One sees left, the other sees right. But this past weekend, no kings rallies was not that. This past weekend was Trump derangement syndrome on parade. It was about hating Trump more than it was about loving America. All the angst and the ill will in the world mustered itself to the town square as reeking of pot smoke and bad life choices. I suspect that somewhere around 4 hours into their echo chamber of angst, the crowds largely dispersed and went to the nearest Starbucks for a pumpkin spice latte and sat around telling war stories about how much they accomplished in their half day of screaming no Trump. Democrats and their liberal media allies, they gave us grave warnings. They warned the world that democracy is at stake. Tyranny is at our door. The world would soon come to an end, cats and dogs living together. The No Kings rallies invoked visions of Nazis and fascists and tyrants. They harped on those mega Republicans, saying that we kept control and it was going to end the American way of life. It's as if democracy is supposed to be a one-way street, apparently, for one-party rule. The leftist mantra is that no one else can have a differing opinion. Then they so cannot fathom that well over half the voters last year had a no more moment. Like we just said, no mas, we're done, to all the madness, and we voted the bums out of leadership. Basically, what you're watching is democracy. A couple of years ago, I rolled my eyes when some yokel named Andrew Gawthorpe, he wrote a piece, I've told you about it before, it came out in The Guardian, and it was titled, here's the title, quote, "The future of American democracy is at stake in the midterm elections." I kid you not. In one overreaching paragraph filled with sensationalistic hyperbole, Gawthorpe said, "Never before in American history has there been an organized movement which was only one vote away from having the motivation and opportunity to make that election America's last. Never, that is, until now," he said. "Today's anti-democratic movement is propelled not by genuine controversy or scandal, but rather by their commitment to ending competitive elections in the United States." For the love. I got news. The reality is we had the most competitive election we've ever had. We removed all the COVID-era cheating they tried to do in 2020 and got away with. We fought the battles in the courts ahead of time so we weren't fighting them after the fact. We made sure that we had ballot security in place. Some of the states tightened up their rules and regulations, thank goodness. And oh, by the way, we had a clean election. Doesn't matter that California got their polls back to us, I don't know, what, 2 weeks later? The rest of the nation did a pretty good job of getting the numbers in. And it was resoundingly in our favor. It was democracy. And people like Gawthorpe and all the no-king snowflakes, they're the problem here. I challenge them, by the way. I challenge them to ever show me one example where democracy was truly considered at risk. You see, what the TDS rally goers don't seem to get is that what we are in right now is not the end of democracy, it is democracy. The idea that people with a sovereign right to their own free notions can actually have a constitutional right to elect their representative government is, in fact, the hallmark of democracy. So when a voter goes to the polls and casts their vote to either vote someone in or vote someone out, they are, in fact, doing exactly what the Founding Fathers hoped for. And I got to tell you, when I hear rhetoric like that from Gawthorpe, or see some of the antics at the so-called No Kings rallies, I have memories that stand out of what it's like to really see democracy at its formative level and in a manner in which it is absolutely risky. And folks, I'm just telling you, we're not there. I've told you before, I've got a picture of myself and one of my team sergeants as we were posted outside of Baghdad City Hall. The building was called the Amanat, the City Hall. And we were there in 2004, exactly 21 years ago, to safeguard the selection of the first ever freely determined mayor of Baghdad. I had several interactions with that mayor, Mayor Al-Tamimi. I didn't even like him, but he served, and he wore a bulletproof vest everywhere he went. I also have a picture that I still carry in my wallet sometimes. I've talked about it before. Some of you have heard me mention it in speeches, but it bears describing again. I'll just tell you real quickly. It's a fairly innocuous-looking, tattered photograph that I keep with me, and I know what it represents. It represents one of the most profound moments I had in my life with regard to democracy, and it was also in Baghdad. The picture is just a group of men sitting around a table. That group around that table is the first ever elected city council for the Rasafa district of Baghdad, a group of men who chose to run for office at the real threat of their lives. And in the picture, third from the right is a man named Sheikh Majid, and second from the right is a man who became my real friend, Dr. Abdul Qadim. And Sheikh Majid was assassinated for daring to serve on the council. And Dr. Qadim, he barely survived being shot in the head, but he was never the same after that. I will never forget watching those men take risks and take votes, knowing that just the year before that, the entire population of Iraq, including those men, were living under real tyranny. Real tyranny. The kind that the No King's jackassery knows nothing about. Iraqis had lived for decades under an actual tyrant, a real tyrant, who dictated their every move. And the exercise of any modicum of self-determination could have you taken away during the night by the secret police, the actual secret police, not just ICE. There was no such thing as voting in Saddam's Iraq. But here we were, standing by as a council of men figured out what self-determination was at risk of their own lives. And their elected governments, it was supposed to look that way. And they determined to keep it that way. Yeah, I watched the men on that council vote once, and it was remarkable. And they were initially scared to vote, but they did. And when they did, I'll never forget someone broke out laughing and somebody else started clapping and the whole room broke into applause and congratulations and backslapping. It was amazing to see people doing things that were something that we would call the simplest of votes back home. But they made themselves known and they did it. And I watched it and it was humbling. And it was the kind of vote that we take as Americans in the most informal settings every day. But two of those men, that day at the vote, they were attacked for daring to be a part of it. But yet it was grassroots democracy, y'all. And when the time came for me to leave Baghdad, I think I've told you before, I made it the point to go back to that council. And I told them that one day their children would study their names in the history books because they were all heroes. So here's the deal. What those men that I knew bled for in Iraq was the right to do something that we as Americans too often take for granted. And yet for us, it is a right that's enshrined in our Constitution. And the people like those that showed up at the so-called No Kings rallies this past weekend, they may try to declare with a straight face that the very act of casting a vote for our chosen candidate was somehow a threat to democracy. But doing so is not only disingenuous, it's dangerous. It's wrong. It's a lie. You see, those men I knew in Baghdad, they were some who really understood what it meant to throw off the mantle of tyranny, that maintaining the status quo was not to be the benefit of their society. And so they participated in the change and they became a society that votes. Democrat fearmongers here in America, they want us to all sit still, to be quiet, to make no changes, to maintain their version of status quo. Sit idly by. Don't have an opinion. Let's just let them do what they will, right? But we didn't. Almost 1 year ago, we didn't. Because inherently built into our democracy is the freedom to actually push for change. America voted overwhelmingly in 2024 to change our status quo. We voted like our life depended on it. We voted despite all the threats and the innuendos and the efforts made to gaslight us into sheepish acquiescence. Because that, my friends, that is democracy. The No Kings rallies, they can go pound sand. Maybe they ought to travel the world once in a while, go to hard places, find out what tyranny actually is. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.